Good morning, City Church. My name is Mara Chabaka-Chihosky, and I serve on the City Kids and City Worship teams. Our reading for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, good morning. As Cody said, we family camped hard, y'all. And my feet hurt this morning, but here, I just need to set some expectations for you. I need your help today, all right? So if you're a more traditionalist, like I just need like a solid like amen, all right? Can we just practice that this morning? Come on now. There we go. Well done. Maybe you're a little bit more like, you just like feel things a little bit more. Maybe you just give me a little, like that was good. Maybe you're a little bit more contemporary. You're like, that's good, or I like that, all right? Or just maybe you just want to go off the over the top a little bit. You're like, preach! All right, can we practice that one more time? Preach. All right, I expect to hear those, all right? We find this guy named Paul on this journey to Thessalonica as we begin a new series today called Awaken. In fact, Paul has this interesting journey getting to the city as he just found himself in prison. He cast a demon out of a slave girl, which she had a master. And so ultimately, he just destroyed the family business, took away the profits. And so they didn't like that. This guy went to the city council. They put Paul in prison. And so Paul and Silas, in the middle of the night, they begin to pray, as you would of like when you're in prison, right, for a wrongdoing. They'd been beaten. They'd been put in prison. And something incredible happened is the gates of the jail like flew open in the middle of the night as they were praying. The chains that were on their bodies literally just fell off. And God showed up. The Spirit of God indwelled in this place. And they were free to go. And the jailer who had fallen asleep, he had fallen asleep on the job. We've all been there, right? Yeah. Preach! Yes, I love it, I love it. Oh my goodness, I lost my train of thought already. That's so good. But he'd fallen asleep on the job, and so this jailer was scared for his life. He's like, I'm going to get killed. And so he draws out his sword, and he prepares to take his life because he's going to get killed when they find out the prisoners are no longer there. And Paul speaks up, and he says, hold on, we're still here. Like, don't take your life. And they begin to share the good news with this jailer, and he turns his life over to Jesus. The city council, you know, realize like kind of what's happened, and they're like, hey, these guys are Roman citizens. They're free to go. And Paul and Silas are like, no, we're not going out like that. The city council needs to come here. Like, we need to talk to them. And so they show up. They offer a formal apology to Paul and Silas, because they realize they're Roman citizens. They realize they beat them. They put them in prison for wrongdoing. And so they show up, they release them, and they're free to go. Wild story. Before that, Paul was in this seaport of Troas, and he is sleeping during the night, and he sees this vision of a Greek man who is pleading with him to say, I want you to come to Macedonia. And so in his spirit, he realizes, I think the Lord is calling me to go share the gospel and the good news in this region, and therefore he winds up in this town of Thessalonica. We pick up the story in Acts 17. We're in a new series on the book of Thessalonians, but I'm going to read the book of Acts to you this morning. All right, just hold with me. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus that I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah. I love this word reason because it was more of like this question and answer format. I love that space where we can ask questions, where we can share our thoughts of what the scripture looks like, what it's meaning to us. And this is what was happening. It was more of a dialogue that was happening in that space. Paul was this master apologist. And he was using Jewish scripture in a Jewish synagogue to talk to these Jewish people about the truth of the Messiah. And here's what happened. A large number of Greeks that we know as Gentiles turned their lives over to Jesus. We see this in verse 4 of chapter 17. He says, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. You see, as Paul began to preach in the synagogue, there was something that happened as the Spirit of God showed up and it began to transform people's lives for the very first time as they began to believe that this Jesus is the real thing. It was a short journey. We see that he preached on three separate Sabbaths, which is typically 3 weeks' time. And so in less than a month, this church was born and it began to thrive. It began to grow. It was incredible what happened. But here's what happens when the good news is preached, is people typically have a few responses. As some people will get angry. Maybe you've experienced this in your life. Why? Because the systems that they have are disrupted and you're giving them a new way of thinking. It's countercultural. And they're like, wait a second, this is uncomfortable. You're asking me to do something that I don't want to do. You see, when we get angry, it's typically because we believe that we're losing control over something that we hold near and dear to our hearts. Some people will elevate that anger to a level of persecution. We need to do something about these people disrupting our system of order, and so we're gonna punish them unfairly. And that's what happens. Some people will embrace the message and give their lives to Jesus. And we see this is what happened in the synagogue there in Thessalonica. As some people began to embrace the message and give their lives over to Jesus. See, they had been serving this king that they knew as Caesar. They worshiped him. He was looked at even as a deity in that day. It's like, this is our God. This is the guy that we listen to. And this Jesus message was completely disruptive. It was countercultural. It hit the very heart of the city. In fact, it was so much so that if this Jesus is truly real, then all these shrines, all these temples that we've built to worship our gods are completely useless. And this Caesar guy is worthless, maybe. But that's the guy that they had been worshiping. But here's what happened. In verse 5 of chapter 17, it says, but other Jews were jealous. And so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. You've all been around those people, right? And they formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world, and now they've come here. They're in our city now. They're bringing disruption to our home. And Jason, one of our own, he's welcomed them into our house. They're all defying the Caesar's decrees, saying that there's another king, this king that they call Jesus." And when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into complete turmoil and disruption and outrage and they formed a mob and started a riot. And they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. So if you don't know what to do, what do? Is you get some people together, you form a mob, and you start a riot. You guys do this all the time. Not necessarily you, but we see people do that all the time, right? But notice what's happening. Is what they thought to be true began to shift. If this Caesar is no longer our God and our king, if he's no longer regarded as this deity, then what now? You see, I love that we have this luxurious pleasure and freedom of worshiping our God, the one true God, King Jesus. There's nobody keeping us from worshiping him today. I'm so grateful for the country that we live in today, aren't you? You see, this church in Thessalonica survived because they were serious about their faith. It didn't matter if a mob or a riot was going on. Nothing was going to turn their attention from Jesus. They had surrendered and given their lives to him. Why? Because he had demonstrated his deep love to them. You see, sometimes I think that we get so isolated and insulated in our little Christian bubbles sometimes that we put ourselves in, we don't realize the persecution that's happening all over the world because of people's faith. You go to the global south, even some here in the global north, and there is incredible persecution because people believe and say, I'm going to live for King Jesus. They put their lives on the line. In fact, often I see this, and I'm guilty of this, is you may get a little embarrassed of your faith, and we just completely bail. You remember this guy named Peter? Jesus looks at him and he says, before the rooster crows, before the dawn, you're actually going to deny me, not once, but twice, but three times. And it comes true. Why do we do that? How much more should we be strong in our faith because of the lack of persecution? We have complete freedom to proclaim the good news. I grew up in an Assembly of God church, and it was kind of a fiery church, and I had a little fiery youth pastor, and man, we'd do some crazy stuff, and you know, you go get inspired of like, you've got to get up on the table of your cafeteria and proclaim the good news of Jesus. Some wild things happened in my school growing up. It was very effective. That was a joke. I'm just thankful I never did that. I was too embarrassed. So why are we so careful about what people think and say or believe about our faith? Why are we so careful? Why are we so concerned? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has consumed every fiber of our being. Church, let us not be ashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not be ashamed of our faith. This was the church that we found in Thessalonica. As their lives were transformed, they were not ashamed of their faith. They were willing to put their faith and their lives on the line for their faith. I haven't heard many stories, and it may just be because I'm hanging out with the wrong people, I don't know. But I haven't heard many stories of persecution, of you being persecuted because of your faith. Today, we begin a new series entitled Awaken, going through the gospel of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In fact, if there was ever a city that needed to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was Thessalonica. This was a city full of real people with real challenges. It was a temporary home of thousands of sailors, of travelers, of immigrants. It was a port city. There was a lot going on. There were busy highways. It was one of the most influential cities in that entire region. Think of a New York City or a Boston. This was Thessalonica. Greeks filled the temples. Jews filled the synagogues. And the Romans, they paid homage to their king, King Caesar. See, it was a very persuasive city, but also was very dark, spiritually dark. You see, for the gospel to break through the religious fog of that city, something miraculous had to happen. And Paul shows up and he begins to preach and speak in the synagogue, and God begins to show up and God begins to turn hearts. You see, Paul was convinced that if he could start a church in Thessalonica, that it would spread all throughout Rome, that it would spread all throughout Asia Minor, and the gospel would multiply and carry on. You see, when you choose to follow Jesus, it's more than just choosing a different life. He chooses you. It's a different life that chooses you. It changes our lives. And here's what I love about this story is it didn't take long. We know that he was there at least 3 weeks, but it didn't take long for the transformation to happen. And we see these words that Paul wrote back to this church in the Gospel of Thessalonica. He said he's writing this church to a young church, started in less than a month, but it's growing and it's vibrant. And he writes this letter to encourage them in their faith, to deepen their faith. Paul had to leave in the middle of the night because of persecution. And he wanted them to know of his love and his concern for them. He didn't want them to think that he completely deserted them. But he also wanted to ground them in the doctrines of the Christian faith, particularly in the reference to Jesus' return, which we see him frequently reference in his letters. See, the church was going through incredible persecution. And when there's a time of temptation, what do you and I do? Typically, we find ourselves compromising or giving in to discouragement. Why? Because it's difficult. It's hard. See, Paul encouraged them to stand firm in their faith. Don't be discouraged. There's this beautiful cycle that we find of the gospel message going out as you hear the news, you see it modeled before you. You begin to believe, you receive the news, and you model it, and then it goes out. And I want you to look at this model this morning that I put together for us. It's the gospel cycle. You'll see it on the side screens this morning. We'll pull it up in here in just a second. But the good news, you see at the top, it's like the good news was brought to you. Somewhere along the way, and if it hasn't been brought to you, it's being brought to you right now in this moment. But somebody brought you the good news, whether it was a neighbor or a family member or a coworker, or maybe you heard it at a church or I don't know where, maybe in a prison. But it was modeled before you. The person that brought it to you modeled it. We see that in the church of Thessalonica. There, Paul and Silas and Timothy are modeling it to them. We see this in the letters that he writes back to him. He's modeling, what does this look like to live this faith out? And they begin to believe the good news is received by them and their hearts are transformed. Then here's the beauty of this is they begin to model it. They begin to show other people, what does this look like to live this out? And this is my favorite part, is the good news continues to go out. Amen. It's up to us to share our faith with other people and say, let me tell you about what God is doing in and through my life. I love this because this scripture tells us that wherever they went, Paul heard of their faith. This isn't a letter of condemnation. This is a letter of joy. It's a letter of celebration saying, church, great job. You're doing it. Everywhere I go, people are talking about your faith. Your faith is incredible. It's contagious. It's bold and courageous. Thank you for that. You see, what happens in us when a genuine conversion happens is this, is a genuine conversion changes our direction. I'm walking this way. And the good news is brought to me. I see it modeled. And all of a sudden, I receive it. And I turn. And I begin to walk the other way. Why? Because my life is being transformed by the power of the gospel. And my faith begins to grow as it's modeled before me, as I begin to read and repent. See, genuine conversion changes our affection. I begin to turn my attention to the things of the cross. I begin to turn my attention from the things of this world to the things of heaven. Not that we become so heavenly minded that we're just no earthly good. I've seen some of those folks. I'm like, come back to reality. We need you. We need your presence here. But it changes our affection. It transforms the idols in our heart. There's this genuine repentance. And so I ask you this morning this, or what are the things that are become idols in your life that are more important than King Jesus? Only you can answer that. Our staff or our pastors cannot answer that for you. You have to look deep within and say, what are the things that I am holding tightly to, the things of the earth? What is something in my life that has become an idol? What am I consumed with? I love this quote by Bonhoeffer in his book, Discipleship. He says this, he says, God honors some with great suffering and grants them the grace of martyrdom, while others are not tempted beyond their strength. But in every case, it's one cross. There's one king. It's King Jesus. And it is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering that everyone has to experience is the call which summons us away from our attachments to this world. It is the death of the old self in the encounter with Jesus Christ. Those who enter into discipleship enter into Jesus' death. They turn from their living into dying. And whenever Christ calls us, his call leads us to death. What are the things of this world that I've allowed to attach to me that are more important to me than the things of the kingdom? That are more important to me than the things of King Jesus? As we turn to God, and our faith begins to grow deep in him. As we begin to have it modeled for us by who brought the good news to us. Typically, that's in a one-on-one conversation. That's how I came to faith in Christ. It wasn't in a local church. It can happen that way. A lot of it is because a family member or a neighbor, somebody shared the good news with us and they begin to model it for us. They begin to live it out, and our faith began to grow deep. When we turn our lives over to God, we give our lives to the kingdom for service for him. Saying, God, I'm giving you my life for your service. I'm gonna say yes to whatever you ask of me. We were talking about this at family camp, about teaching our kids to obey the first time. It has nothing to do with that's the least of our worries. Is like, I want you to listen to me and obey the first time. You know why we do that? We do that so we posture their hearts that when Jesus shows up and the Holy Spirit calls them at some point in their life, that they don't go, excuse me, what? No, they've learned obedience and they say, yes, I'm all in on that. That's uncomfortable. It's difficult, but I'm gonna say yes to that. Why? Because my parents raised me that way. They taught me obedience so that I could follow you. You see, genuine conversion changes our reflection. It changes what I begin to think about. Life is really short, but eternity is really long. We have this expectant hope for the future. And we begin to think about things of heaven, not the things of this earth. You say, God, my life is yours. When I was in my 30s, I had this obsession with death and thinking about what was going to happen at the end of my life. So much so as, and I know this is odd and unique, as I begin to attend funerals, some people I knew and some of people that I just saw, I was like, man, that's a really good person and I wanna go learn about their life. What are people saying about their life? There was a young pastor that his life ended here in our city, and it was in the Tulsa World, and I was like, it was open to the public, and I'm like, I'm going to this guy's funeral. Some of you are like, that's really weird, Pastor Jim. But there was something going on inside of me of like, I wanna hear what people have to say about this young minister, because I wanna make sure that my life aligns with the values and the things that I want people to say about me at the end of my life. You know what I want people to say about me? Jim Moss, his faith was contagious. And when you got around that guy, you couldn't help but think about the kingdom, about Jesus. This is what happened in the book of Thessalonica, as their faith began to spread. Why? Because of the way that they were living their lives. This is what happened when Paul went into the synagogue and then he began to preach. As people's lives were changed, they began to point their feet and take steps in the opposite direction if they were going, and they begin to give up the things of Caesar and worship the things of King Jesus. Their affection was transformed. They begin to think about things that truly mattered. Their faith in God was known everywhere they went. People were talking about it. They were sharing it. It was reverberating throughout the city. Paul said this to him. He goes, everywhere I go, how amazing would this be if our friends and our family said this about us? Is everywhere I go, no matter what coffee shop I find myself into, a restaurant, is people are talking about your faith. I haven't even met you, but I've heard about you because your faith is so contagious. How beautiful is that? Everywhere we go, can people clearly see our faith in Christ? Or is it simply a mystery to them? Is it a mystery? Is it clear? That's the type of church I want us to be known for, is that our faith just reverberates all throughout the city, all throughout the region, all throughout our state and our country. This is what we see happening in the book of Thessalonica, is these three things, is the Lord's message rang out. It began to reverberate and spread because of their bold and courageous faith. Do we dare pray a bold and courageous prayer this morning of God, make that my life? Make that be what people say about me? Scripture tells us that they're telling us how you actually turn from your idols and you're no longer worshiping those things. They're just telling us freely that you're serving this living God and that you have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing is this, is they said to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And so this morning, we have to wrestle with these questions this morning. You'll see the first one on the screen. Let's look at it together. Is the good news ringing out from your life? Is the good news ringing out from my life? Are people talking about my faith by the way that I'm living my faith? Have I turned from my idols? Have I changed direction in the things that have my affection and my attention of this world? And I say, you know what? No longer. I'm not pursuing that. I'm going to pursue King Jesus. This isn't a maybe question. This is a yes or a no. You either have or you haven't. I try to trick my boys from time to time and get crafty with them. And I'll ask them a question and I'll say, what's your answer? Yes or yes? And they just look at me like, I'll take or. I'm like, that's not an option. But have we turned from our idols, yes or no? Here's the last question is this, is am I speaking about and looking forward to Jesus' return? Do people even know who I serve? Do they know who my master is? Do they know that he's coming back? God, let us be known for our faith. Let us be known for sharing about the God that we served. This is the rhythm that we see in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm so thankful for. This church that Paul was so thrilled about. Have he heard of their faith over and over again? I want to pray for you this morning. As we close out our time together, Father, thank you for your scripture, God, that you gave to these people that incredibly gave up their lives for you. God, I thank you for the words of Paul this morning. God, as he wrote back to this church to encourage them, to celebrate their faith. God, let that be known of us as a church.
that our faith is heard everywhere people go. I've heard about your church. I've heard about your faith. It's bold, it's courageous, it's contagious. It's spreading all throughout the city. God, let our affections be turned towards you. Let the things that we think about, that we reflect upon, be things of you every single day of our lives. God, we honor you. God, we bless you this morning. Deepen our faith. Let us no longer walk in embarrassment or timidity. God, give us boldness and courage to proclaim your truth, to proclaim your gospel, your message. And God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you just to stay in this posture of worship as we prepare our hearts to come to the table this morning to receive communion.